Oh. I am a coach, Donna Marie, with Plant Your Seeds of Transformation podcast. I am so focused on just doing a good job ending the year out for this podcast and making sure that I reflect on what's worked, what hasn't worked, how I can continue on with the things that worked and improve those things that not so much. So welcome to Plant Your Seeds of Transformation. And if you didn't already hear, I said my name, Coach Donna Marie. I am here to support Black women leaders. I'm not saying that I don't want anybody else to listen. I'm saying that I know that I speak to topics and issues that affect Black women leaders in deep ways. We tend to have traumas, compounded traumas in our lives that many times we're not getting a lot of support from the people closest to us. And we're the strong ones, right? We're the strong ones. We're the ones that people may not necessarily be checking up on because, they'll say things to you like, "You're my rock." They'll say things to you like, "You're so strong." But sometimes when people perceive you that way, they just don't check on you. And so I'm just trying to make sure that I'm kind of the person checking on the strong ones, the people who have been surviving the trauma, surviving the crisis, trying their best to move forward towards their goals and towards seeing the people around them thriving and doing well. But they themselves, there may be something that's holding them back, that may be devastated inside and not feeling very good about themselves. I want to be here for those strong Black women. I want to be here for them to help them to see there's a way out, but to also know that that way out is you. I talked about this in previous episodes. Your resilience, undergirded by the strength that God puts in your heart. Your resilience is what will move you forward. And sometimes getting stuck in an expectation that the people you've been strong for, you've been a rock for, are going to come through for you and support you and help you in ways they've never done before. Sometimes that's an unrealistic expectation. And where you may need to focus is on improving yourself, planting your own seeds of transformation so that you can move yourself forward in incremental ways. It doesn't have to be big, huge changes. It could be something small that you learn to consistently change over time that eventually can make a huge difference for you. So I gave the example last month, November, I think. I gave examples based on financial changes, for instance. So I'm blessed to be a financial coach, and one of the things that I do is I help people that understand the importance of having a financial plan. I call it a financial plan. Some people call it a budget. Some people call it a money management system. Whatever you need to call it, that's fine. Whatever you want to call it to be, for it to be cool for you, to be good for you, you call it whatever you want to call it. But the point is a system where you can document what's going on with your money and track it over time so you can see the changes and the improvements. We talked about this before. Nobody else is going to save you from being a bad money manager, but you can become a good money manager. Nobody can help you get over the fear of dealing with money. the fear of dealing with bill collectors. Nobody can help you. You have to decide that's what you want for yourself and learn and take the steps so you can get past that fear, learn, keep improving, make a mistake, learn from that mistake, improve on that mistake. You know, you got to do these things. Nobody's going to do this for you. And I definitely learned this year that for myself, and I'm going to read part of my notes on this because I felt that this was really important to share with you all. Just because you love someone doesn't mean that you have to have loose boundaries with them. Now, they may want to manipulate you and make you feel like you need to loosen up your boundaries for them, but that's not loving of them to do that to you. Them expecting you to loosen your boundaries for them, that's not love for you. Okay? Having firm boundaries can actually protect your relationship, A, with yourself and then with them. There's a scripture that says that the greatest commandment that Jesus Christ gave his followers was to, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is found in Matthew chapter 22 in the Bible, the Holy Bible. Loving yourself is a component of the process of loving other people. And you maintaining good boundaries, good firm boundaries, and reaffirming them and reinforcing them. And restating them to the people that you already know. You know who they are. The people you already know who are going to try to run over your boundaries, restating them, making sure people know you're serious, right? So having firm boundaries can actually protect your relationship with yourself as well as with the other people in your life. Loving people as you love yourself includes having good boundaries, good solid boundaries. So, in terms of financial, if you have family members who are irresponsible and they're always running to you in an emergency situation, you can set boundaries around that. If you have one or two people that over and over and over again, they're running to you for help. You can set boundaries around that. You don't have to just do what they ask. That doesn't mean you can't help them. It just means that you can set boundaries about how you're going to be helping them. For instance, if you notice a pattern, let's say you have a child, for instance, who is constantly being irresponsible with their money, overdrafting their accounts, making impulsive choices. I'm talking about like if you have an adult child making impulsive choices. Actually, it doesn't just apply to adult children, but anyway, A, you can help them to get financial education. And in the past, I've recommended that you all can check out different financial, personal finance educators. And there are pretty much YouTube is YouTube, TikTok, everywhere is saturated with many different financial experts. And you can go and sit and listen and learn. You can go through classes. Some churches have financial education courses to help you manage your personal finances because a congregation that's out of pocket, they don't know what they're doing with their money, that's not going to be a thriving congregation. So churches have a good incentive to make sure that they are providing financial education for the congregation and for the larger community around them, because many times the community around them, they're coming to that church, even if they're not members, for food, for clothing, sometimes to, ask for help finding shelter. So there are many churches. Usually they tend to be kind of larger churches who are doing these financial education courses. And they have different names. I'm not going to get into that. If you are part of my Patreon, you'll see there that I have some of these resources about my financial coaching resources listed there for you to help you, including a budget sheet. I believe I shared that in one of our private mentorship chats. So if you would like that kind of advice, check that out, because you have to make sure that you are able to be strong for the long term. And if you have people who are running over your boundaries and stressing you out and making you get burnt out, you're not going to keep being strong. You are, and you're not Superwoman. You're not God. You have a limit to yourself. And at some point, you'll have a breaking point if you don't have good boundaries. Good boundaries helps you love yourself, take care of yourself better. It helps you put your oxygen on first so that then you can serve and help and be a blessing to others in whatever ways that you decide to do that. Nobody can tell you not to give somebody money when they keep coming back to you over and over again for help. But if you learn and grow yourself, you might see there's some other things you can do to help them besides just giving them money. So that's something you have to determine based on your continual learning and growth for yourself. But I just want to make sure I reiterate that having good boundaries is the way that you can love others as you love yourself, as Jesus has commanded. That is our second commandment, first commandment being love God. All right, so the other thing I want to talk about is what is faith really? Faith isn't never worrying. Faith isn't never doubting. What it really means is that when you have the fear, the anxiety, the doubt, that you're going to allow the Lord to remind you not to worry and why not to worry and how not to worry. You're going to learn what steps you can take to reduce that anxiety, to reduce that fear. That's what it means, is that you have the faith to let God help you grow in that area. It doesn't mean that you're perfect in that area. Faith is not being perfect. Faith was never, God never brought us the concept of faith to condemn us and judge us and get us into this toxic Christian mindset of thinking, we're the perfect Christian soldiers at all time. That's not what faith is. And I think sometimes with big media, big public displays of specifically American Christian churches, sometimes that's the message that has gotten across to us, because we're watching these people who many times we if you're watching people on TV or in large conferences, many times you've never even met these people, or at least you don't spend a lot of time with them. Even if you're a volunteer and you might interface with them, you don't spend all your time with these people. You don't know what their real life is, right? So we're looking and idolizing, right? That's what it boils down to. We're idolizing the people of faith. But God has called all of us to be people of faith. David was not perfect, but God called him one of his top guys, King David. Solomon definitely was not perfect, but he was, God made him one of the richest men in all history. Faith isn't about being perfect. Now, we're not trying to be imperfect, right? But faith isn't about being perfect. Faith is about being willing to let God help you, trusting Him to help you get better. That's what faith is about. All right, so what I was going to tell you is this. Having faith doesn't mean you never worry, you never doubt. It means that you'll allow the Lord to remind you not to worry and will learn what steps to take to reduce that anxiety. It means you'll allow the Lord to help you in your unbelief. And I've talked about this, I believe, earlier in the fall or maybe in the summer. Faith is not that you have belief in everything. Because we can't see the future, right? You can only see it in your heart. But when your heart is constantly bombarded with disappointment after disappointment, you know, we talked about the concept of the heart becoming sick. There's a scripture, and I'm not going to find it right now, but there's a scripture that says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. That means when you keep seeing Groundhog Day and the same mess over and over and over and over for months, sometimes years, it definitely does not foster belief. It is only human to start having a bit of doubt in that kind of a situation. But we serve a God who knows that about us, right? And faith is having the belief that He can help your unbelief. There's a scripture about that, actually, which maybe I'll talk about that on a future episode. I'm not going to get into details about that now, but you can look that up for yourself. God can help your unbelief when you've seen the same situation scenario. It could be with yourself. Or it could be with a family member or another loved one, a close friend, especially if you have a relationship with somebody that's an addict. It could be the same stuff over and over and over and over and over again. And it really does feel like nothing's ever going to change because that is what you've only seen, that's only what you've seen. And then there may be times where you see some change, but then 10 steps were taken forward and 100 steps were taken backwards. Can you keep your faith up in that kind of a situation? Sometimes you can't. And you need God to help your unbelief. And that is a prayer you can pray. I mean, it's actually in the Bible, y'all. Lord, help my unbelief. Google that. That is an actual scripture. Faith is not having it all together all the time, having the perfect Christian life, having the belief in everything at all times. No, sometimes faith looks like Groundhog Day, looks like it's never going to change. But yet, you trust God that He can even do a miracle in. Stop Groundhog Day. Faith is simply trusting God. It's not about trusting yourself and being perfect yourself. That's not what faith is. Faith is simply trusting God, even when things look completely and utterly impossible. And that's the great thing about that is that's when He can show up. And show out for you. And I'm not talking to you about this theoretically. I've lived this. In the private group, I may share a little bit more about my story. So if you're interested in hearing more and getting more practical, real examples of what I'm talking about, you can go to patreon.com/plantyourseeds or transformation. That's where I do my private mentorship. There's a 1 week free trial with that too. So if you'd like to check it out, you can. Having faith means you trust God to be with you even in the midst of the worst of circumstances. That's what faith is. You know he's with you no matter what, no matter what the outcome of what you've been praying for looks like. Sometimes our prayer answers are incremental and difficult to recognize. It's not necessarily that the prayers are not being answered, it's that we don't recognize those answers. Faith is trusting God to help you even recognize those little tiny incremental answers to prayer. I shared in a previous episode that one of my loved ones, physical disability and progressed over time, and seeing them fight for so long when other people who had a similar condition were completely incapacitated much sooner, much quicker. That was an incremental answer to prayer. So I'm just telling you this, your faith can be as tiny as a mustard seed. The Bible talks about faith as a mustard seed. Your faith can be as tiny as a mustard seed. It's still valid. It's still valuable. Don't let the devil, the enemy of your soul, get you to think that your faith is not important just because you've been experiencing Groundhog Day and cannot see those incremental little tiny prayers answered. Do trust God to help you start to recognize them. People talk about the miracle of Christmas. And sometimes it starts to sound cliche. But Jesus is miraculous in all his forms. My eyes are watering, y'all, because it's early morning. I don't know why my eyes water in the morning, but they do. The miracle of Christmas, that's a real thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's an energy. And you can embrace that energy. I'm not talking about movies or TV. I'm not talking about the commercial marketing of all the things Christmas. I'm talking about the real Christmas, Jesus. He's Christmas. Jesus is Christmas to me, okay? He brings an energy. He brings a light to your life, to my life, to your life, and to the world that can cause amazing things. Jesus is the bringer of the miracles. And your faith, no matter how small it is, it can usher in that energy from Christ Jesus to bring in the miracles that you need to see, no matter how small those miracles may be. Other people may not even notice it, but you can still notice it and you can give thanks to God for it. We talked in previous episodes about the importance of joy, of thanksgiving. Rejoice in all things. Rejoice always actually says, give thanks in all things. And there was one other. You can look at previous episodes for that and look at the grief guide. The grief guide actually goes over that too. And remember, you can download the grief guide for free at plantyourseeds.show. It is so important to bolster your faith by protecting your faith from the little nibbles the enemy does at your soul. The devil does not, and the devil is real. He tried to kill Jesus after he was born, caused genocide against infant boys, and that's not the first time in history. And it wasn't the last time in history that that kind of thing has been done. That is pure evil. And it's still unfortunately happening today. If you listen or watch anything regarding the Taliban, they're constantly killing people, killing children and women. And if you happen to be, if that happens to be something that has impacted your life, any type of genocide or discrimination against you, I mean, if you're an American woman, if you're a Black American woman, if you're a Latino or Native woman, if you are an immigrant of any ilk, and you are in the United States, you've had the chance to see the devil nibble away at your soul and make you feel bad about yourself because you're not like the majority who supposedly founded this nation. And so being able to stand in your faith despite that, being able to know that God's got your back despite all of that, being able to recognize how he's working out the little things and the big things for you over time. That's where your faith is at right there. And comparison is the enemy of your faith. You may have been tempted to envy other people that you've seen get these huge blessings. But the truth is, God just wants you to give him thanks for the smallest of blessings that you have right here, right now. And that can really bolster your faith. That's why I included that as part of that grief guide, because really, truthfully, honestly, the answer to any kind of trauma or crisis that you've been through is letting God come into your life. And he's going to enter into your life through your joy, through your thanksgiving, despite the circumstances, despite the situation. You'll find him in those little things that you give him thanks for. You'll find him in those moments where you're in joy despite the circumstances. I told you all that I've had a rough time this holiday season due to grief that I've been experiencing. But I'm still finding joy and spending time with people that I love and remembering wonderful memories. And I'd love to share this one memory with you all. We'll use this to wrap it up. I don't know if you all have ever heard of the Handel's Messiah. If you're a human being that celebrates Christmas pretty much probably in any country, you've heard. If you've ever been to any Christmas celebration of any type, any church, you've probably at some point in your life heard of Handel's Messiah. It is a beautiful, beautiful, I guess it's called a considered a symphony, and written by Handel. Handel's Messiah is one of the most beautiful, joyful Christmas celebrations by music in the world. Well, here's my story. My father, who was not a Christian when I was younger, so this really baffles me, but he took me to a Handel's Messiah concert. So, you know, he grabs me up, drives me into the city of Chicago. We go into this beautiful old theater. I think it was like a symphony orchestra building or something. I was young, so I don't remember, you know, the details of where it was at. I just know it was downtown Chicago somewhere. So he gets me there in this building, and I'm ready to sit down so we can listen to the concert. No, that's not what happened. They handed out music to us and everybody else in the audience, and the audience sang along with the orchestra. And it was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had, and it's one of my best memories with my father. And I made a decision to celebrate that memory. And I started looking up YouTube videos. And I want to go do that with my children one day. I would love to, but I don't live in Chicago anymore. I don't know where they do that type of thing or if they do that type of thing here in Georgia. But my father was not a member of a church. He was not a Christian, but he loved music. And so him taking me to that, and I was a Christian. He was a Christian before he passed away. But at the time when he took me to that, he was not a Christian yet. But he took me to that and it changed my life. It was absolutely amazing. It was fantastic to, and I was already a singer and I had been learning how to read music. So I had no idea that he was gonna give me, share this experience with me. And it was just beautiful. It was such a surprise for me. That was a Christmas gift for me, basically. And it's as his birthday approaches here, that's one of my best memories. That was just such a wonderful experience. And to not just sit in the audience and listen to a concert, but to sing and participate, sing with all these other beautiful voices. It was just gorgeous. Literally everybody in the audience was singing. Everybody had sheet music. Everybody was singing. It was just gorgeous and beautiful. So as you celebrate this Christmas season, I just want to bless you. Whatever your faith level is, God can work with that, right? Whatever you've been experiencing, if it's been something that's been happening over and over and over again, he can still do it. He is the God of miracles. God bless you. Happy holidays. Check out the show notes at plantyourseeds.show. I'm Coach Donna Marie, and Plant Your Seeds of Transformation is a production of Lead Like a Queen Coaching and Consulting LLC. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.